Welcome to the Third Realm Integration Podcast, where our unconscious minds meet and the transformation begins. I am your host, Megan Kenny. Let's get started. Hello, everybody. We are back. Back in action. We're back, Jack, for another episode of the Third Realm Integration Podcast. Trip. Let's get tripped right now. All right, so we're going to talk about the four survival archetypes that I am going to then break down into their own individual episodes because they all want a seat at the table. And they all want to speak. They all want their day in court. They all want to be heard. But today, I'm just going to give a brief introduction to this family that lives in our lower chakras, 1, 2, and 3, and that are of the world of matter. So these are the dense archetypes that need to be worked through in order for us to actualize to our soul and sacred contracts of what our soul signed up here to learn and accomplish in this lifetime. There are many other archetypes. There's a belief that we carry these four survival and then 12 personal total, so 8 more, and then upwards of 32 that live in the background, and then millions more. Archetypes are fluid. They do not have firm boundaries on each one of them. The victim is a part of the child. The prostitute is child is part of the child and the saboteur. They all work together. They all feed off of each other and they all activate each other. So a wound in one is going to trigger a wounded expression in the other. And so the four survival archetypes are the victim, the prostitute, the saboteur, and the child. Now I'm going to start with just by saying that this family is a group. So when I say that they work together, they really do. Like the prostitute and the saboteur are like the Bonnie and Clyde pair. You know, you get these two in a room and it'll take a divine intervention to stop their destructive and just uncontrollable synergy. And then you get the victim and you get the child, and those two work together beautifully. And again, all four work together and all millions work together. But those two work together really, really well. And I always frame this family in particular because it has to do with survival. I always frame the expression of these archetypes from the core primary wounds that I always talk about. So that's my reference point. The wound of our fear of being powerless, which is the father wound. And our fear of not being good enough, which is the mother wound. The mother wound being the wounded feminine, the father wound being the wounded masculine. So when we think about what these archetypes do, why they are here, and how they serve us, their goal is to put us into a place of feeling disempowered so we can actualize towards the potential of our own personal empowerment. Archetypes are powerful patterns that are aspects of us, not parts of our personality, because that's just the ego. Because what happens is the shadow side of these survival archetypes are a part of the ego, but not the light side. The light side that we get to explore, excavate, integrate, and then express are what helps us actualize to our full potential. The lesson comes from the shadow side of these archetypes. The pain. Or the attempt to escape pain that just creates more stuckness or more stagnation or more pain. And so every archetype has its own shadow and every archetype has its own higher vibrational side, the light side. There's a light and a dark to each archetype. The dark side is the wound, that's the pain that shows us where the work is so we can get to the lighter side, which is how the soul fulfills its contract. And the major ones, like I just said, or VPSC, victim, prostitute, saboteur, child. So I'm not going to go too deep into each specific one because like I said, I want to dedicate an episode on its own to each archetype because again, the reason why they wreak havoc on our lives is because we're not paying attention to them and they want a seat at the table. or we're not consciously paying attention to them in their entirety, which means their lighter side. So I'll just put this out there. I'll leave you with some questions because I'm actually just going to probably close the episode right here because otherwise I'm just going to jump into the specifics on each one. I'm going to leave you with some questions. For the child, how do you know when your child is the one that's speaking? What are characteristics of your child archetype that you know when that voice pops up, that's my child? And keep in mind that the child has many variations. There's the divine child, the godly child, the child that carries that godlike energy that will get that projected onto them. The child who, you know, the family has just been waiting and waiting for, and when they finally arrive, it's like a gift from God. That projection gets put onto that child, that expectation. I often pay attention to the way in which people name their children. If they name their children like after like some godly entity, kind of like how I did with my dog. I named dog, not child, but I named her Gaia. That was my projection onto her. And let me tell you, she has fulfilled it. She really has. She has met that expectation. She is a lot of energy and a huge personality and fierce and big. And she's been doing this thing lately where she's been like up in the middle of the night. I don't even know that this is happening till I wake up in the morning. And she has turned into a trash picker. I mean, she is like in the trash. I'm like, what are you doing? Not the trash, the bag of recycling. But it's like, what is going on here? She's like a scavenger in the middle of the night. It's not like I don't feed her. I don't know what's going on. So she is just like walking to the beat of her own drum. Very Gaia-like energy. And so we'll have the divine child. We'll have the magical child. Carolyn Mace gives a great example. Johnny Depp. He knows how to walk the magical child brilliantly. Look at all the roles that he plays. The Peter Pan archetype. She even talks about how Michael Jackson was completely possessed by that archetype. Was stuck in it for whatever wound he was carrying. He wanted to stay the child forever. The imagination child. Then you get the nature child who has an affinity for nature, but there's also a shadow side to that also in which they can actually harm nature and animals. Then you have the wounded child, you have the orphan child, you have the adult child, you have the stepchild, you have all these different versions of the child. So there's so many different variations here. But ask yourself when the child is stepping up to the plate. It's usually when you have a reaction and you've been wounded. And then you want people to know that you've been wounded in some way. And it's not fair. It's I'm helpless and this isn't fair. And that's a big, big piece of the child archetype. It's the feeling of being powerless. Yes, that gets reinforced through life. But then there's also this bigger piece, in my opinion, that the mother wound comes from the experience of the child archetype, where we're now pulling on Winnicott's theory in psychodynamic psychology about the good enough mother. And I'll get into that when I do the episode on the child. But we inherit the wound of the not being good enough through the child because we want the approval of the adult so we can be safe. And we also have to accept the fact that we are powerless to take care of ourselves and entirely dependent. That's why the victim and the child really work. They work off of each other so beautifully. It's wild. Think about somebody who you know is like, that person's playing the victim. What are they acting like? They're acting like a child, right? Like, you know that. And here's the thing. These archetypes, the intention was to help us survive. That's why they were there. We learned how to be the dependent child so we could depend on the source that was going to take care of us. We learned how to be the helpless victim because that's what's necessary for the child to survive, to really integrate its experience of being helpless and dependent and not in control of their own life. We learn how to be the prostitute when we sell our values for an earthly experience, when we work the job that totally burns us out because it has good pay. So now we're choosing the earthly value of the money over the spiritual value of the higher intelligence, which is when your soul is free, which is when you're not a slave to the money and you're not sacrificing some aspect of what you find to be valuable at your soul level. And the saboteur is afraid of personal empowerment. What it takes to be in control of oneself. And so they will hand it away. All of these archetypes are there because they were necessary for survival up until a certain point, though. That is the key. If you keep walking in the shadow of these four archetypes into adulthood, you are never going to actualize to your full potential, and you are going to have chosen the lower realm as opposed to the higher realm for walking your spiritual path. So there's the shadow side that at first served the function to help us survive, that will be the destructive shadow if we stay in the shadow side of those archetypes into adult life. And if we don't take the lesson and learn how to then transmute it and go to the other side, we go from powerless and helpless and out of control to powerful and independent and in management and control of our own destiny, which is now we're moving from fate when it's life happens to us and jerks us around, and we're moving into destiny, which is the soul's calling. Now you're moving from that space of inspiration that I talk about where the divine is working through you. You get a grip on raising your awareness about the intricacies of these archetypes, and you will figure out what you're here to do, and you will find your way into that space. You will find the relief on the other side. So I'm going to leave it there. This was just a short one, just coming in to introduce the family of the four archetypes. And this is internal family systems. This is the family that lives in you. This is parts work. And you gotta harmonize this family of these four major players if you want to be free. Psychic liberation only comes from being able to actualize these four archetypes and express the higher side of them through your actions and your responses, not your emotional reactions, but how you respond, how you engage with the world, how you see yourself, and how you pay attention to the messages that each one of these archetypes is here to give you. So, short one today. Pay attention for new episodes that are coming out. I'll break down each one, and we will get into that at a later date. All right, so I'm going to leave it there, everybody. It's been real. This one was just a quick and dirty one, and we'll be back for more. I will catch you on the next episode. May the light always lead your way. Be well, everybody. The Third Realm Integration Podcast and related content is intended to provide information and/or entertainment only and is not a substitute for mental health or medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Do not delay mental health or medical consultation or substitute a mental health or medical professional's opinion because of what you heard on this show. Seek the advice of your physician or another qualified health provider with any questions you may have regarding a mental health or medical condition. The host of this podcast does not provide emergency support for mental health or medical issues. For questions or concerns, visit your local emergency room or contact your doctor. All right, here we go. A quote from the one and only, the amazing Carolyn Mace. The lessons of truth you've acquired are your wisdom jewels. Wisdom is often hidden underneath our greatest hardships. And it is the intellectual who understands that the search for wisdom is the true path to healing.